What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
Welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. And, you know, we're here, as y'all hear, Philly, for another Philly Friday. So, you know, we're glad you tuned in with us here on Fet Life Station at FetLifeStation.com. You can also catch us. You need to go to our new podcast network, the True Stories Podcast Network, You need to check us out on that joint because I'm trying to tell y'all, it's rapid fire. We're giving y'all straight what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? We're blowing it up, y'all. We're blowing it up. So make sure y'all pull up to the True Stories Podcast Network. Doing some wonderful things there. And as you know, you just can't leave. You're locked down. So let me first get into this joint, man. And say, man, yo, I'm not gonna hold y'all. Last week's joint was gonna be a tough act to follow because. I really hit on some points. And this is, like I said, when I get in my historical bag and I really start identifying and addressing things that need to be done, you know, with black men in the black community. So, you know, I set the bar real high. So every week now I'm going to shoot for that. But I want to really get off of the relationship conversations and so forth. I mean, it comes up and, you know, we'll dabble into it, but the main focus is on us becoming better men and understanding what that looks like. So, you know, like, so that's going to be the focus. That's going to be the drive. That's going to be the direction we take this in. All right, brothers. Speaking of better men, man, you know, shout out to, you know, my man Bird. You know what I'm saying? In our fantasy football league, he defeated me for the tight in the title game. Yeah, I was hurt. And it's because, man, I gave him my best, like not my best player, but I gave him a quarterback. I mean, how fantasy football works is you pick your players each week based on who you drafted in the beginning of the season, who you acquired through the waivers, through free agency, and so forth. But by the end of the season, you pretty much have your team, especially if you make it to the championship game. And I ended up cutting a quarterback because I had several injuries in certain positions. And I wanted to make sure that if those players who are questionable for the game, if they couldn't play, I would actually have backups in there that would actually do all right. I got the backups. They did all right. Problem, some of my players didn't show up. Vulture touchdowns, I mean, you know what vulture touchdowns are. They're touchdowns that typically on plays situations that would go to your man, but some unsung person got the touchdown, and that happened to me several games. Quarterbacks stole my running back's touchdowns. But the thing that hurt me the most is one of the quarterbacks that I cut, he picked up, and it ended up being his starting quarterback for the game. And the difference in that game was that actual quarterback. So I was like, holy shit. I was hurt. I was hurt by that. So, but anyway, man, anyway, we're here. We're here. And I still, you know, second place, you still get a cash pot. So I was able to still, you know, get my, I was still able to get a little something from that. You know what I mean? I was able to put a little something, you know what I'm saying, in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? So either way, it's, you know.
Got them. We fucking got them.
You know. So we're off to next season, right? Off to next season. So I want to address something too, because while we're talking about football, if black man, if you want to ever see like a visual, right? Because typically speaking, you can't prove this stuff when it happens to you on the work site. Like, you know it happens to you, but you can't really prove it because there's a lot of gray areas and a lot of layers of the story that's hidden. Here's an example, right? And here's an example, right, of our young brother Shador Sanders showing you how white supremacy works behind the scenes when it comes to sabotaging, you know, potentially powerful black men that could provide a level of competition they don't want to have to compete against. Check this out.
They can't even get the right play sheet in his wristband, or what was going on today? I heard three different stories about that.
So apparently they had one wristband, and then they made alterations, like they changed up a couple things, and he didn't get the updated one or something like that.
How does that happen, bro, on a professional football team at that level?
And he's the starting quarterback. Like, you would think that'd be the one person
to make sure
they
get the updated wristband. That guy, yes. The quarterback, yes. Right? Yeah.
Team guys, I tell you what, man,
unreal,
so good. And well, and then after the game, they asked Kevin about it, and he said the wristband just got something on it, something was like stuck on or whatever he said, or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. They gave the young boy the wrong wristband, the quarterback. They gave him the wrong wristband to play the game. It's like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Oh, that's the wrong one. Hold on. What do you mean? You want to give the starting quarterback the wrong wristband? Are you trying to lose? He ended up winning the game anyway against the Pittsburgh Steelers 13-6. But the bottom line is they you don't do this in the NFL. I don't think there's anybody's ever said anything like this. And listen to what a stand-up guy Shador is.
And then, like he said, we got it fixed up pretty quickly. And then they asked Shador, and he said, oh, yeah, my wrist, it fell out on the sideline and got muddy or something. It's like, I've heard so many different stories about this wristband now.
At least. Right, the young boy covered for his coach, which, brothers, y'all gonna have to stop doing this shit. I understand that, you know, you recognize you're up against it. This isn't the first time this head coach has sabotaged Shador in regards to the game and in regards to certain things. He's been pulling them out on game-winning plays after Shador, you know, put the team in position to win the game. He's been calling plays that baffle the mind, like two-point conversions. Shador got the winning touch, like the game-tying touchdown, or a touchdown that could put the team ahead. The two-point conversion could put the team ahead. They take Shador out the game and then run a play that was sabotaged from the gate. It's like, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about how, you know, when you are competitive and you are a reputable brother, given an opportunity with the same playing skill, how they'll still load the deck against you. This is why when people talk about you got to learn how to play the game, there's no such thing as learning how to play the game. You got to recognize that the game is rigged against you, brothers. The game is rigged against you. It's designed for you not to win. So when you do win, it's literally against all odds. This is why y'all got to, you know, understand up front that what you're up against. And so, so many times, man, you know, so many times turn this down a little bit. It's a little loud. It's like cutting into me. So many times, you know, you try to explain to brothers how, you know, we live in a system of white supremacy. They don't understand it because if you live in a black community, the only people you ever see really do dirt to you are black people. We don't really register how systemically our resources are taken and redistributed. We don't understand how not just redlining, but gerrymandering works when resources are, and opportunities are circumvented from your communities to surrounding communities and so forth, while a school in your neighborhood is falling apart, but, you know, a school maybe about 2-3 miles away from you is thriving, considered a magnet school, one of the best schools in the country. Students from there often go on to do great things because they've been placed in better positions than your children, who basically they don't even get a decent lunch menu. As always, brothers, like what they did with Shador, they actually blocked him. He was supposed to be a first round draft pick. He went from being the possibly second or third pick in the draft to being drafted in the 5th round. Do you know how hard it is to pass up on talent? And the team that drafted him drafted another quarterback before him. But Shador has outshined everybody on that team and has now gotten to the point where the coach really doesn't have an excuse to not put him in the game. And the kid is performing, making plays, highlight reels every week. He's performing. And the whole world can see that this is happening. And the coach just shrugs it off. Like, yeah, you know, he doesn't even really do a good job at trying to disguise how dirty the work is. So, you brothers, this is what I'm talking about. And this is like this right here, this isn't complicated to see. Now, imagine the world operating like that. Imagining obstacles being put in your way. You being pulled from powerful positions because you don't necessarily have the foundation to support you in those particular arenas. And it ain't to say that all white folk get along. They don't. They can't stand each other, but they'd rather lose to each other than lose to your black ass. As I keep telling y'all, brothers,
the hunt is on. And you're the prey.
Y'all got to understand that, brothers. You really got to understand that. But, you know, as we continue to push forward, man, you know, and here's another example, right? I'm not even sure because I meant to get to this last week, but I'm going to check with this joint right here because I don't think that I was able to get to this one last week. So let me check to see if I got to this joint last week. If I did, man, it's okay. It's relevant today, and that's the important thing. All right, let me just let y'all hear what this brother had to say about, you know, I think I did talk about him being a Harvard Law School lawyer.
I went to Harvard Law School. I've got a lot of degrees and awards. I've won cases at the U.S. Supreme Court, and I've been in courtrooms representing clients. Getting there early, sitting at defense counsel's table, where the judge will walk in and immediately get mad at me. The judge will look at me and say, hey, you get back out there in the hallway. I don't want any defendant sitting in my courtroom without their lawyer. And I have to stand up and say, well, I'm sorry, Your Honor. I am the lawyer. I didn't introduce myself. My name is Brian Stevenson. I have to try to de-escalate this situation. And I was doing that recently. I was in a courtroom in the Midwest, and the judge started laughing, but it wasn't an apologetic laugh. And it kind of angered me. And the prosecutor started laughing. They thought it was so funny. And I was sitting there getting angry, and then I thought, oh, no, Brian, you can't get angry. You need to smile. You may need to laugh. And I felt that way. I thought that way because my client was not going to be able to leave that county.
And see, this is another example, right, of the sabotage. They basically told this brother before he even had a chance to open his mouth that he didn't belong there. When I say he didn't belong there, he didn't belong in a position of requisite power. All right? An attorney in a courtroom has power. And he did not belong there. That's what they were telling him. He did not belong there. that he was not supposed to be in that position. All right. So this is what I'm telling you, brothers, that you're up against a lot. And a lot of us don't see it because we don't face. You know, the irony is, I think we do see it. But our cognitive dissonance and our willingness to acquiesce to social compliance, right? We want to believe that this shit don't happen so that we can deal with problems that we can actually conceptualize. I can deal with the fact that the boy down the street don't like me. I could deal with the fact that the cat that I see on a day-to-day basis has beef with me. But I really can't deal with a system that is put in place with people that operate that system, that people that benefit that system, people that can manipulate that system in order to maintain, you know, dominance and control over us. Because we kind of see that as too big to handle. That situation is too big to fail in regards to us dealing with it. So we have to do what this brother do and grin and bear it when it comes to them. And I've seen it in person. The toughest guys, man. Toughest guys. A white guy come around with a goddamn construction hat on. You know, those cameras that they use to as measuring instruments when they're about to actually do some construction in your neighborhood. The brothers don't treat them with any disrespect. Hi, sir. How you doing, sir? Boom, boom, boom. Bust it up. Have a civil conversation with them. But I walk by and I get the grizzly. I get the grizzled look. Like, what the? Really? So this is what I mean. So you know, we have a whole bunch of other things, right, that we have to go through as black men. So, you know, I just want to know, what do we do with that? What do we do with that, right? Because, you know, when we start looking at situations like that, we sort of fold. One-on-one, we feel like, yeah, ain't any motherfuckers tougher than us. But when it comes down to systemic issues, especially because, you know, the worst part about that is the gatekeepers in a lot of those situations are also black. A lot of the gatekeepers who've been given access to a quasi-bourgeois lifestyle, where they have a title, where they have degrees and things of that nature, they pretty much become the smug gatekeepers. And when it comes to us, they swallow the key. That means you have to literally go through that person's shit to get your hands on the key just to get into their world. Think about that for a second. Is it even worth it? Because then one of the prerequisites into getting it into their world, you have to then too become a gatekeeper. You have to become a gatekeeper too. That should eat at your character a little bit. So, black man, get it together, all right? But just understand where you are in this fight, you know? Just understand where you are in this fight. Understand where you are in this fight, y'all. All right? So, you know, as we transition, y'all. I'm getting better with this, right? I'm getting better with this. I'm a one-man show over here. Y'all should see me. I'm like a one-man conductor and I'm the orchestra. All right? So, you know, there's a conversation going on about when the whole notion of this whole gender war started, right? So I want y'all to hear, you know, from two requisite doctors in the black community. Hold on a second, fix it. I want y'all to hear from them when the gender war started, because it's something that I've been saying, but I'm glad to hear somebody else say it. So shout out to them. Hold on.
Obsidian said last week when I asked him about the gender war, he said women have been talking our lives and our fathers' lives and our grandfathers' lives. It wasn't considered a gender war until men started talking.
Exactly.
And to know how feminized the culture and society is and how everybody's been brainwashed by this. Mm-hmm. Ladies don't view ladies don't view men talking inherently as the problem. They view men talking in a way that doesn't agree with women. Doesn't talk only favorably and only highlight women's positive behaviors.
Exactly.
They're fine with that. That's why the panderers are taking all their money. That's why the black men and the men, that's why all the men that's in these on these microphones that are just telling women, girl, he don't deserve you. And if he won't do it, another man will. And you're reinforcing an ideology. It does nothing for her to change. The problem is the man. This is why so many of them think whenever a relationship ends, he's the narcissist.
Yes.
It's because they've been conditioned to believe. This is why so many of them don't apologize. Guys, if y'all see what we're talking about, it's rampant. The lack of accountability, the lack of apologies, the everybody in my past is a narcissist. I felt threatened just because he disagreed with you. Men, they'll in the same sentence tell you about what a real man is and what men should do and what men's responsibilities are. And then also tell you stay out of women's business and don't talk about women. In their mind, it's not a double standard. The standard is we have one standard for women and we have a totally different standard for men. And that is a cohesive. It falls within the feminist gynocentric model. When you guys understand that, it's not just about a lot of them are willfully just doing this. They have been trained since young girls.
Yes.
To think and see the world through this lens. And how do we know that the culture has been feminized? Because when you go to other countries that are not westernized and have not been totally feminized, it is the exact opposite.
Yes.
It's the exact opposite. And it's like they'll simultaneously tell you why they'll reject a man. He's not tall enough. Like you said, he doesn't make six figures or more. He doesn't have a beard. He's not funny. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. And they'll have all these reasons for why they can disqualify you. But if they find out that you're dating outside of your race, culture, or outside of the country, they have an issue with that. And now they have to pathologize and say that you're evil and trying to take advantage of these women. It's because literally in their mind, there's a standard for women and there's a standard for men. And feminism and this whole gynocentric model was never about equality.
No.
It was always about female power and influence and the ability to shape culture to be at the benefit of and the advantage of women. Obsidian.
So that's Dr. Jeff James of Philadelphia and also Dr. Tiasan Johnson of Fresno University. I think it's Fresno State University out in California. And excuse me. They are having the conversation specifically about the creation of the gender war and the conditions that the society is in. And how it got there. Now, you know, there have been conversations about that, and we know that during the late 60s, early 70s, we knew that the gender dynamics concerned in specifically the civil rights movement, which eventually transitioned into the Black Power movement when they started expelling white members from a lot of these groups and organizations. We know that there was some, you know, indignation by some of the sisters. They wanted their voices heard. Now we also understand too that when the brothers were actually in the pole positions or sitting up front, they were doing so because they didn't want the women to be targeted. And if you read a lot of the literature back then, it was because they did not want the women to have to, you know, listen. Being a man is hard. Being a man on the battlefront is even harder. And when you're on the front lines of a war, you don't want to, it's a double jeopardy situation. You know, you're no longer concerned about your safety. You're making sure that nobody hurts the women that's standing next to you. It's a natural protective response in many of us. We can't shake that even if we try to. And a lot of the women felt slighted. And then they allowed agents of the CIA, white women, to come and sit into the back of these rooms. There was one in particular. I got to remember her daggone name. But they took part in that, and and creating a different form of feminism. So that's when they created social feminism, and it was strictly for black women. You know, it's a shame. And hold on, I'm actually looking this up while I'm talking. You know, Gloria Steinem. All right, Gloria Steinem was the CIA agent that was literally put in place to create this to actually fester, you know, and help, you know, bring some wind to the embers that eventually burned into this whole scorched earth concern campaign against black men that was, you know, perpetrated by the women of our community. And this is why they're talking, you know, for the last since the 70s and the 80s. And you've heard clips on here where I've shown you the women have said basically they want to be in the pole position in the communities, in our community, the black community. This in turn has created a circumstance where black men have struggled with this whole concept, because keep in mind, this just because this wasn't happening. Remember, we talked about last week, the war on black men has been going on since our arrival into this cursed, well, this land. It's not cursed land, but the people that actually cursed this land that brought us here on those slave ships. And then you'll hear somebody say, well, not all of our ancestors came here like that. Yeah, but those Negroes were subjugated too. There were rights that those Negroes didn't have access to, and their property and wealth was taken from them. And when they were doing too good business-wise and financially-wise, they were hung. They were mad. Yo, they themselves were made examples out of. These men, when you look at all the pictures of all the lynchings, specifically in the North, that took place, look at what those men were wearing. Those black men were wearing three-piece suits, tailored suits, and they were burning at a stake, or they were hanging from a tree. They wasn't wearing rags or the old school dungarees. They were actually businessmen, business owners, property and land owners. But they were a threat. Shedeur Sanders, a threat. Why? Because who his father was, who his father is, and what his father represents. A black man that rarely compromises. I ain't gonna say never compromises, because I'll say never, and then something to come out 2 weeks from now, and then we'd be on some Diddy shit like. So, but you know, that's that happens. So they were speaking about that, and they were speaking about the gynocratic society that we live in, and now look at it, it's falling apart. And there's no accountability for the woman. All the rules and regulations are shaped for the men. This is what they mean by the women can shape an environment that benefits them at the cost of everybody else. And like I said, brothers, I'm never going to be like an anti, you know, woman channel. This ain't that. This is just helping you understand where you are, because a lot of y'all are confused. And as we know, if you don't understand how white supremacy is, what it does and how it operates, everything you learn only serves to confuse you. And a lot of us like to fly off the seat of our pants when it comes to being opinionated just because we have a mouth. And now with social media, we all feel like we have worldwide access and an invitation to impart our opinions on things for which we don't have requisite study and we don't have requisite inquiry. Like, we don't even know how to ask the right questions to get the right answers. And our egos won't allow us to acknowledge that we don't know some shit. All right, that's one of the biggest ones. So, hold tight. We got some other stuff over here that I want to get into. Okay. So, and we talk about, like, the whole concept around, you know, a black man and how you honor the black man, right? So check this out. This is a I don't know where this clip is from, but check this clip out real quick. Hold on. Oh, hold on. I keep forgetting. Damn, I you know what? Because this joint's always start with the mute button on. All right, hold tight. Here we go, y'all. We got to get this right.
So my question to you is this. Where you are right now, you and I had a conversation kind of earlier today talking about men and women. Mm-hmm. What are the frustrations that men have with women? What are men saying, specifically black men?
I'm going to tell you one of the main topics, respect. But a lot of people understand borders, and they don't understand guidelines as it relates to a man and respect. Now, how high, a lot of women do not understand how high we put that on respect. Like, but if you don't respect, you got to respect me, because you can say you love me all day, and if you don't respect me, then I don't care about your love.
So what exactly is respect for a man?
Certain people have certain thresholds in this respect genre.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys are real passive. So a lot of times, they women just do whatever, kind of. Like, it just depends. Like, there's certain things, like, okay, here's something simple. Like, you should never walk in front of your dude. Like, if we're walking together, right? Like, if we're together, I'm supposed to be your protector, right? So how, if we're together, why are you walking in front of me, beside me? First of all, that pisses me off.
Now I want to be clear about something, right? And this is one of the issues that I often have with brothers. Now, this brother was right when it came to the whole notion about respect. But when she asked him what does respect look like, he couldn't give her an answer. So he had to come up with an example. That means he doesn't even really understand it. He understands when it happens to him, but he doesn't. This is what I mean by people having access to the platform. If you don't understand the word well enough, if you don't understand the premise of what you're talking about well enough, you shouldn't really be speaking on it. You shouldn't be speaking on it. You should only speak on things that you actually have an ability to articulate. And if you don't know, say, it's really hard for me to explain. I just know what it is when it happens to me. A lot of us know when we're being violated, because that's the whole notion about respect, right? If she's going to talk over you, if she's going to question you at every turn, if she's being dismissive of you, any of your points that you make, if she believes that you are just a piece that falls into her world and not the other way around, that's disrespect. That's the lack of respect that men get. If she is bypassing all of the parameters, right? She doesn't allow you to exhibit dignity. When speaking of you, she doesn't speak of you in glowing terms, respectful terms, terms that'll make other people respect you. Because people will often judge a man by how his woman treats him. And a lot of times, as men, we don't recognize that. And so she's dismissive of us. If she's, you know, always putting us down, she's putting other men above us, that's a lack of respect. See, those are ways you answer questions like that. You don't answer questions like if she's, well, like that's an example of, and not all men feel that way, because shit, she might know where we're going before I do. If we outside now to like lead me, that's a different story. But see, those are the things that fragile egos kick into play, right? That's not necessarily the thing that happens when you have a person that disrespect is rampant, you know. And it might be just the way y'all operate. Now, there was another one that I had, right? I think, what the hell did I? Oh, I know what happened to it. Hold on. There's another one that I had that I want y'all to check out, because this is actually, you know, sometimes you just got to go with the link. Hold up. All right, this is the one. So check this out, right? Because this is what happens when you allow a woman to determine what that looks like. This is what happens. Check this out.
When you say you are honoring your husband, what does that look like for you?
I think honoring my husband means to please him by doing the things that I know make him happy. And especially, I think, when your spouse is connected to God, you know that he's leading you in a way that you should go, right? Mm, it's a right. Men out here, y'all should not be honoring or following. It's not everybody that deserves this level of honor.
Right.
And so to me, when I honor him, I'm doing what God has called me to do as a woman, which means making sure he is fed, loved, supported, and
sexed.
Often. Y'all heard that, ladies.
I want my husband to be in the fullness of himself, because when he is, he frees me up to be all that I could be. If he over here sad, depressed, and struggling, and I'm out here doing, I gotta take care of too many things, I got too many balls in the air. So if I prioritize my husband's happiness and his joy, then he serves me and loves on me in ways that are unimaginable. When a man feels like a king, he treats his wife as a queen.
Now, see, this is another example, right, of both the men and the women not truly understanding what that looks like, right? See, that's one thing she didn't mention is respect. And so if she is not respecting that man, she could love on him all she wants. But a man's respect, the one thing the other brother did get right is a man's, the top way of dealing with a man to be, to identify a man's affection is through respect. And the respect is shown by often, sometimes giving him deference, not even sometimes, giving him deference. We're out in public, and I tell you, hold tight, because the situation is looking kind of rocky, looking kind of bumpy. Yo, you, we're not going to have a whole conversation as to why you should listen to me. We'll have the, you'll get the explanation after we get out of danger. But if I'm looking around, I'm like, all right, let's go. There's no questioning what's going on. Why should we? I'm leaving. I'm out of there. And that's the end of the relationship. Whether it's a dating, whether we're in the courting stages, whatever it is, that's the end of it. Brothers, you got to hold your home. You got to learn how to grab your cojones to be able to understand how that works. Because we can't keep putting ourselves in those positions. Now, I got one more thing, right? Before I get into, actually, you know what? Because I was going to get into this gentle parenting thing that this dude was doing. But I'm going to come back to that, because that was so goddamn annoying. But I want y'all to hear, because I think our brother O'Shea Duke Jackson was able to provide a video clip that we're going to listen to. And I want y'all to cheat. I want y'all to peep this, right? Because I want this right here is one of the things that it's getting to the core, right? So check this out.
Today I want to talk about something a little different, and I want to make this episode specific to the community that has supported me. That is black men. Black male content is my passion. Talking to the brothers every day is my passion, right? I love what I do, and I love you, brothers. But we got to do some things differently. And I know on this channel, I do a lot of breaking down what's going on in feminism, breaking down what's going on in the black community, the Pookie and Ray Ray cycles of black America. But today I want to talk about missed opportunities that we have in the world that we as black men do not take advantage of. And we wonder why we don't have what Somalian men have. We don't have what Jewish men have. We don't have what Mexican men have. We don't have these things. And the reason why we don't have a lot of businesses, we don't have a lot of industries or share a part of industries, and why we don't have more income coming in into our group is because we feel overall we don't need to add value to one another. That is the big problem. Number one, most of us, we work in the, you know, for the mainstream industries like everybody else. When we come together, we don't add value to each other. Everything is what I'm going to get for free. Everything is, you know, I'm going to go down the street.
And I'm going to speed this up a little bit, y'all, because I want to make sure we get everything. So I'm just going to speed up a little bit. O'Shea doesn't really talk that fast, so this should work.
And you realize something. One of the reasons why we don't have anything as a group is because we don't respect each other. Okay? Everything is about what you get out of the deal, but never what the person is valuable or what value does the person get. You want to make a lot of money, but you don't want to, you know, uphold your end of the bargain. And then when you don't uphold your end of the bargain, here you come with a bunch of excuses.
And how many times have we seen that, brothers? I could tell you personally, right, that I've been a part of groups, organizations, so forth. And these are, you know, positions that have been put in place with, you know, these are groups that were created by men for men. But there's always somebody in the group, at least one or two people, with the egos that will tear the shit down from the middle. It will destroy the foundation. And when you try to sort of, you know, say, and they, I can't even get into it, but somehow, some way, everybody seems to want to be David Ruffin. When it comes to, y'all remember David Ruffin? Without me, there'd be no Temptations. Ain't no Temptations without David Ruffin. Goddamn, y'all know that. And we have so many brothers, unfortunately, whose self-esteem is in the toilet to the point where they themselves cannot be in a room where, you know, they can actually coexist equally, share the rock equally with another brother. All of them feel like they're MJ. They want to take the last shot. They believe the ball belongs in their hands throughout the game, instead of understanding that you're dealing with people around you that are also talented, also gifted, also have the ability to lead and resource. Many times, a lot of times, I have myself shrunken myself to fit in with brothers like this, only for them to see that as sort of like an opportunity to try to shit on the brother. And it's like, fam, trust me, believe, I know how great I am, and I know how great I can be in any arena, but I'm trying to make sure that I manage, and sometimes, you know, I used to manage and massage the egos of other men. Pause, of course, because we ain't on that type of time. We ain't here, no Diddy. But you know what I'm saying. Trying to make it where we can all work together, because I don't need the sunlight. I don't need the spotlight. You know, I don't need to be the one out in the sunshine. You know, I don't need to be the one getting all the shine. But I digress, because it's just not happening.
A bunch of lies. A bunch of why you can't do something. And this is the question today is, do black men have respect for black men? And the answer is, for me, emphatically, it's a no. Let's leave black women out of it, right? Let's deal with black men on a day-to-day basis. Do I have respect for black men?
And a lot of times, and I'm going to tell you why you can't do that, Brother O'Shea. You can't do that because a lot of the reasons these brothers are disrespectful for one another, to one another, is because they're doing it for the benefits of black women. They're doing it because they want to look good in the eyes of the women. And they believe that shining on these brothers, shitting on these brothers, stunting on these brothers is going to make them look better and become so-called alphas in this whole dance that we do on a day-to-day basis. And it really tears down the fabric of what we could build, because these brothers are centering the attention they get from women instead of being centered on the purpose of building. And that's why what you said in the beginning, my brothers can't build, because too many brothers idolize pussy. Too many brothers idolize the affections of a woman. They don't understand what it means to be the core foundational aspect of nation building. But I digress.
I don't even care if it's a Pookie and a Ray Ray, if he's a guy that's in the white collar industry, if he's the church pastor, the policeman. For black men, if I want to work with them, do I have respect for them? And if the answer is no, how can you ever expect something positive to happen with you and black men? How? You can't get it to happen. Let me tell you something. If you want businesses to come up in the black community or anywhere, you want folks that's going to put in those hard hours, you got to be a leader of men in order for that to happen. You have to be able to talk to men, to be able to get them to be incentivized to see the big picture, to get talented men working with you, working for you on projects, seeing the vision for the industry. But if you don't respect them, they're not going to do it. I don't care if the guy is short, if he's fat, if you think he's a nerd. If you don't respect him, he's not going to do it. And that's what we're dealing with right now. A lack of respect from our men toward one another. But let me tell you what I found. What do you get if you respect black men? You get everything. And see, here's the misnomer here. Or the misconception. You know, I started in the black manosphere in 2015. When the godfather of our generation, Obsidian Media Network, made a social experiment. If we made content for black men, would they support it? The answer is a resounding yes. But here's what I have found, even in the black manosphere community. We've had content creators complain about black men don't support, and then you go look at their YouTube channel, There's no effort in the business. There's no creativity in the business. You're not trying to do a good job for black men, but you expect everything from black men. Where?
Shit, my bad. And that part too, right? Too many times we see each other as a leg up. We try to sort of like use something like we sign, you know, the whole notion of standing on somebody's shoulders. Well, we want somebody to stoop so we can stand on their back. Too many of us are not, you know, and because I'll be honest with you, I don't claim to want fame and all this other stuff. If it comes, it comes. I really, you know, enjoy doing what I do in terms of internet radio and putting these podcasts together, because this goes to the brothers I think need to hear it, but and some other people who are not brothers that need to hear it. But the bottom line is, I know what I want out of this. And I know that if I wanted it to go a certain place, then I would really have to put in the work to make it go a certain place. There's some people who want the fame, but they want to sort of, you know, they want to skip past all the hard parts. They want to be able to bypass the, you know, they want to just come in at the last leg of the race when you can see the championship, when you can see the line, you know, the finish line. They want to start there. And they don't want to put in the work. And then what happens is when somebody that does put in the work, that probably had less potential than them, actually succeeds, they start hating on that brother. They start looking at that brother with you know, disdain. They start becoming envious of that brother. And that's one of the reasons we can't work together. I can't tell you how many brothers I've worked with, whether we went drumming circles, whether we tried to bounce off each other in the podcasting and this, that, and the other. You could always feel they never wanted to support your work. And then they were kind of like dismissive when you supported theirs. And I got to the point where I said, man, I'm not dealing with that shit. Like, we talking about respect. Respect starts at home first. Starts with self-respect. Before you go anywhere else, it starts with self-respect. And if you don't respect yourself, you're going to allow everybody else to disrespect you. And they're going to gladly disrespect you because most brothers still see you as niggas. And niggas ain't to be respected, especially by other niggas. So, you know, that's that.
Where's your investment in doing something good? You don't want to do it, but you want to complain about what black men are not doing for you. And that is the issue. We have to have enough respect for our brothers to say, you know what, if we're going to be in business or if we're going to be in the service industry or if I'm going to be at a job, anything that I'm doing that affects our people, I want to give my people the best that I can give them. When I come onto my channel every day and I've been all over the world, literally the last 90 days, I won't tell you exactly where I've been, but some of you people have seen me out and I was in Nigeria, I was in Dubai, I was in a lot of different places. When I go out and I have a new concept that I want to produce, I'm thinking about how it can be the best for the brothers that I'm trying to reach. I don't even create channels if it don't even revolve the brothers. So how can I give them the highest quality of what I can do? Even when I come to YouTube every day, you know, when I give the videos, I make sure that those videos are edited, that the sound is good. Because why? We want to make sure that what we do for black men is the best. And how to improve on that for our audience, for our brothers. We have to look at them as everybody, as our own economy, and not being afraid to pay our brothers for the stuff they do well. But then we want to complain a lot of times about the problems we have with black women. I get it. We have a lot of problems with black women, sure. A lot of problems with the institutional family structure. But you got to understand that black women understand when you don't respect each other, guys. They know that. It's something that they can see. It's something that they can feel.
And they see it and they play on it because they benefit. What did I say before? Why do a lot of the brothers... Why can't brothers get along? Because they're doing it for the affections of women. Because let's face it, as black men, the only thing in this country you've been allowed to exhibit is the Mandingo effect. Your ability to have that stick swinging between your legs and basically that's how you've become. That's been the true testament to your masculinity in the Western world. The only thing you have been allowed to have that has not been, you know, totally destroyed. The only thing you've been allowed to be proud of, everything else, being smart, or you're trying to be white, you know, being athletic, you're just a $40 million slave. You know, You can't talk articulate. Again, you're trying to be white. You go to college, you don't get celebrated. You go to prison, you get celebrated. We get celebrated for being brutes. We get celebrated for becoming, you know, sex gods in the bedroom, but we don't get celebrated for doing the things that we need to do, like nation building. You don't respect it. You don't like it. You don't share it. You don't support it. And this is why conversations like this is hard. Hard to have, because we don't want to look ourselves in the mirror and be upfront about where we come up short as men. And I'm not even talking about this for the benefits of a woman, because what he's saying is right. The women don't respect us. But and a lot of that, most of that doesn't really have anything to do with who we are. You know, that's part of the training. That's part of how they have been, you know, shaped, and how their minds have been shaped over the years. Now they've bought into it, but the lack of respect for us as men, that's neither here nor there when it comes to us. Because if we all decided as brothers to push past this and prioritize nation building, and prioritize and treating our brother with respect, they wouldn't have no choice but to respect us or move on. You're starting to see some of that now. But not enough.
And if you really want to have something in America, be respected by political groups, it takes the black men coming together. And many times that means, and I'm going to talk about this, that means that I'm dealing with the goal and I'm not dealing with the person. When we deal with black men, I'm going to respond to this video, Brother Leo on Focus on Liberia. We want to bring, let's say, a goal to bring black boys together and fund their school. Well, then the issue becomes, I don't like such and such, so I'm dropping out the organization. Instead of saying, I don't care that that person in the organization, I'm not here for him for that. I'm here because we want to bring a school for black boys, or a school for black boys and girls, or we want to put 10 businesses in a black community. That's why I'm here. I don't care about the fact that I don't get along with him. I don't like him. It don't matter. He don't like me. But I love what I'm trying to do. I see the bigger picture. We don't have enough mature brothers to do that.
Now, I'm going to agree and disagree with what he just said. All right. One of the things I'm going to agree with is we don't have enough brothers mature enough to push past our rugged individualistic goals to move towards the bigger picture, right? And building and working with other brothers. What I'm going to disagree with is the reason why a lot of these brothers don't get along. A lot of times you have shiesty people that get ahead of these things. You have fast talking brothers that get ahead and they get into the leadership of this, you know, of a push for building this and building that. They're not to be trusted, they're untrustworthy. Many of them are compromised. And once you identify and recognize that, the best thing is to do is withdraw. Because the most valuable thing you have in this world, is time. And you can't consistently waste time in situations and circumstances that are going to prove to be unfruitful. You have to, now even if that means you have to create what you're trying to build, then you have to be the one to create it. But a lot of times we don't create it because, you know, we're afraid of the conflict that's going to occur from that. But sometimes when you're standing up for righteousness, conflict is necessary.
Okay? We don't have enough mature brothers to do that. And this is life. We have a goal. We need to stick to it. You know, regardless of the fact that we don't like this person or we don't like that person, who cares? What about the overall goal? And I cannot wait to do that video. We need to be sticking to the goal. And if we can't get to the goal, we need somebody to come in and mentor and settle differences in black male communities. What's going on? You brothers come here. Let's talk about the issues that you have and solve them. What happened? And get conflict resolution and continue on the path of which we're going.
And a lot of problems with that part. And see, this is what I mean. We got to get to the root, because too many of us want to get to the end and not the root. The root of it is we were never rooted in brotherhood as black men. We were never rooted in terms of like in position where, foundationally, our brotherhood came out of necessity. which most people do, but it didn't generate from love and family. So you remove the so-called trauma, or what appeared to be the trauma. Now, what's the glue that holds us together? It's not there. We have a fuck that nigga society. I'm a shit on these niggas today, tonight, society. That's socially how we operate. We're still trying to fight each other for butter biscuits and a piece of chicken off the master's plate. And we're not loyal to each other. We're loyal to things outside of each other. We're not even loyal to God. We're loyal to the things that disrupt and destroy. But I digress.
This is what we got to do. And we are disrespecting each other and expecting results. You got to get this black man the respect he deserves as a man. Stop trying to get over on him. Stop trying to lie to him. Okay? Stop. We got to honor what we're trying to do with the brother. But guys, what do you think? It's your boy, O'Shea Duke Jackson. Back at it again. Another episode here, guys. Appreciate you for what you do. We're out.
And shout out to O'Shea. Shout out to O'Shea. Now, I want y'all to check this out, right? Real quick, because we're running out of time. This right here is in direct correlation to what happened with O'Shea, right? This is a father talking to his daughter. I want y'all to hear, because this is when it comes down to black men and respect, it starts in your family, right? It starts in your house. This little girl can't be no older than 3 or 4. Check this out.
No, I don't want that.
Why?
Because I don't.
It's your water.
I didn't ask for it.
Okay, just drink it.
Why would I just drink? Where's the top at? Don't come back out here. Bye. Don't come back out here.
I don't care. Switch the water.
I'm not switching the water.
Yes, you are.
I'm not switching the water.
And hold on.
What? Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. What was that you just did? Come here. Come here.
Now, what he's referring to is as she was walking out of the room, she gave him her middle finger.
What was that you just did? Do it again. Huh? Yeah, stop playing with me.
And the whole time she's holding the cell phone with a sheepish little grin on her face, like, she did it, so what?
I'm not switching it. No, I'm not. You gonna drink that water or you ain't gonna drink nothing?
I'm not gonna drink that water.
Well, you're not gonna drink nothing.
Okay,
and bye. Gentle parenting. I'm doing a great job at it, ain't I?
Not.
Yes, I am.
Not.
You wanna see harsh parenting? You wanna see aggressive parenting? Don't come over here and call my bluff. Don't come over here.
Now, keep in mind, when you heard the door shut, she was not leaving out the room. She was closing the distance between her and her father. Listen.
You want to fight?
So you want hard? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm talking about when I say lack of respect. Now, what do you think this girl's going to grow up doing? I don't care if they did this for the gram or not. This is the type of shit I'm talking about when I say, brothers, we're not even commanding respect from our own children. This is a lack of self-respect that you see going on here. And it starts from a very, like, and this is why, if you don't have respect in your house, your own daughter, what makes you think you're going to go out in the world and command respect? Black man? Self-respect is paramount. It's the first level of respect. You got to respect that man you see in the mirror every day. You got to question your moves. You got to question the level of integrity that you represent. You got to question the dignity that you exude. You got to question the amount of honor that's attached to your name. When people say your name, is it said in reverence? Is it said in a way where they understand, you know, your volatility? Or is it said in a dismissive nature? Is it said in layers, layered in disrespect? And are you dismissed? And is it that they talk to you in a way that's dismayed? You have to be able to understand those things, black man. And so we take this out in the street. And this is why we can't see the white man as our enemy. We don't think we're big enough to fight back. We don't think we're big enough to stand tall. And we don't think we're good enough to stand with each other. You know how many times I've got into it in my places of employment where I've stood up for other people, other than that, and to have all of the people I work with throw me under the bus. Places I've been in society where I've spoken up for people, and those very same people have turned their back on me when it comes to being loyal. These are men. These are brothers. Black men. Yet still, I'm still standing tall, speaking on what we need to do as black men. Keep that in mind, family. Men don't wash away when the waves come in. We stand tall in the tide. Plant your feet solid in the sand. Make your foundation firm, brothers. Because at the end of the day, we're all we got. But if you really think about it, we're all we need. Anyway, hope y'all got something out of this broadcast, man. You know, Happy New Year to everybody. Appreciate you pulling up for another episode of Office Hours. Yeah, we went a little over today. Not bad like last time, but, you know, we're trying to fit it all in. So, but that's it, man. May this year bless you all. You know, with the best of fortune. Stay true. Stay close to God. Keep God close in your heart. You know, and remember, family, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And I am out of here.